Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he had come near, he questioned him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen. This is a really good chapter again. And we can see Luke's thought going throughout the whole chapter. And I'll end with the beginning and the last, but let's go into the middle parts here. You know, he makes it very clear. Verse 9, it says, all right, I'm telling this parable, I'm going to tell this story, right, to all these people that trusted in themselves. You know, and they put their faith in their own abilities. They put their faith in their way to comprehend. And as Christians, you know, we have to be careful sometimes because we tend to put, and we'll put our faith in our ability to hear God and our ability to discern scriptures, you know, our ability to, you know, to know what God's thinking or these kind of things. You know, and that's the way you can trust yourselves in kind of the Christian way. And in the obviously the worldly way is to trust in your own abilities to do things. You know, as I counsel people and, you know, as we go through times and we talk about different things, this by far is the biggest obstacle that people face, you know, when we talk about people's lives, because for so long, you know, they've been doing things on their own, right? They've been trusting in their own abilities. They've been trusting in their education, trusting in their background or whatever it may be. And now they come to a point in their life, and that's why they seek someone like me out. They come to a point in their life where they don't trust themselves anymore, where they don't have faith, right? Because they did, right? They believed in themselves, they trusted themselves, and it led to this road, and it led to this thing. You know, and now they're like, okay, God, all right, I'm tired of driving. You drive. You know, but the discipleship, right, is basically the struggle of allowing God to drive, you know, your life, and trusting in Him to lead you in the way that is the most beneficial for you and for you wanting to take the wheel. You know, and I think we go through many, many different stages of that. And that's basically our discipleship. You know, we say, Jesus, you are Lord, right? That means I give you my life. I trust you for my life now. But now we know there's a long process that takes place where we can actually be the guys sitting in the back. You know, have you ever seen like movies or, you know, you come out here to Hong Kong, you see like the really rich people, right? You know, and they always got some Filipino driver or something, or, you know, and they're, you know, in the front seat, and they're, you know, they're always like, these guys are always in the back, in the Bentley or the Rolls or whatever, and they're just chilling in the back, you know, and they got their legs crossed, they're reading their paper, you know, and that's the place you want to get to in your life with God. You know, I mean, really, you know, honestly speaking, right, you trust the driver, right? I mean, he's going to take you to where you want to go, you know, you don't have to worry about that, and you sit in the back seat just relaxing. Now, for some of you that have been cars, in a lot of cars in your days, maybe while you're in the States or every once in a while, you know, and there's people that, you know, you get in the car and you just tell the driver everything to do. You know what I mean? I was in Korea one time, and it was this friend of mine, and she was just relentless. You know, Mr., you know, don't take this road over here. Make sure you take this road because in this time it's really busy in this traffic. And so make sure you take the way. Don't go that way. You know, you're trying to rip me off, you know. And just on, constantly on and on. And you can be one of those kind of drivers. We call that a backseat driver. You know, you're like, you're not driving, but you're telling the person to do everything, right? Do this, do that, you know, don't go this way. You know, I know the best way to go about it. You know, it's like, come on. And many of us were kind of in that stage. You know, the other stage, you know, is kind of like you got one hand on the wheel, you know, God's got the other hand on the wheel, and you're fighting for control there, you know, and some, you're just driving, and God's kind of in the back just waiting on you, right? You're going the wrong way, and, you know, he's just trying to say, hey, you know, make a left turn, make a right turn, and, you know, I mean, there's many, many different stages of that, you know, and this whole chapter, again, is on trust. You know, we see that Luke is constantly, bam, 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 one after another, dealing with this issue, this attitude of trust. So he talks about this guy. Here's this one Pharisee. He trusted in himself. You know, and you know how much he trusted in himself? Look at the word that he uses. In verse 11, right? The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. He trusted himself so much. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying to himself. You know what I mean? I mean, that's like, man, this guy really trusted in himself. You know, it's like he stood and says, and thus he prayed to himself. Right? Wasn't it a prayer offered to God? Right? He was just talking to himself. Right? His God was himself. You know, and then, you know, and then he talks about the other guy, and he says, who will be justified? And he goes on, And then the next story that Luke presents to highlight this even more is the rich young ruler. You know, and the rich young ruler was just like the Pharisee. I mean, he was exactly like this guy, if you think about it. You know, and he comes to him and says, "Teacher, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, and he says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God." You know, and he says, "Tell me what to do," right? And Jesus responds, you know the commandments, verse 20, "Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, blah, blah, blah." And in verse 21, this guy says, "Man, all these things I've done from my youth." Man, I was doing this since I was a little kid, right? In the same way, you know, he points over to the Pharisee. He trusted in his own abilities, right? He trusted in his own piety. He trusted in his own righteousness. "I'm righteous," you know? And so surely, you know, and I think this guy, you know, my kind of interpretation of this young rich young ruler, I think he came to brag. You know, I think he came to feel justified. You know, good teacher. You know, it's like almost like setting yourself up, you know, for a compliment in essence. You know, it's like, let's say our basketball team. I'd be like, "Okay, guys, who's the best on our basketball team?" And we're like, "Pastor Sam." You know, I was like, "Yeah, okay." You know what I mean? It's just like you fish for your own compliments, right? Just strike that from the record. you know what I mean, right? It's like you're just fishing, you know, like, "Oh, you know, who's got the curliest hair? Oh, Lisa, you do," you know? I mean, it's just, this guy's just basically fishing for these kind of things, and he's trying to feel righteous. You know, he wants to feel, you know, like he's approved during this time. And he says, "Well, you know all these things." And then he gets to the point of it all to this guy. And he says, "Hey, one thing you do lack, though. Yeah, I know you trust in these things, but one thing you do lack. Why don't you go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have what you've always been looking for." You know, in other words, he's saying, why don't you really trust God? You know, you're trusting in your abilities right now. You're trusting in your possessions. And he's saying, listen, you go and get rid of that stuff and you'll have what you've always wanted in your life. You know, and that's exactly what this guy was doing. He trusted in himself. He trusted in his ability. He trusted in his own piety. And he trusted in his possessions. He didn't trust God. And thus, he totally misses out. Right? Totally misses out on what he was after all along. You know, and for us, I mean, we need to be really careful. What are we really putting our trust in? You know, are we really trusting the Lord Jesus with our lives? You know, or are you, you know, you kind of like skip by because, you know, you got a fat bank account. You know, in relationship because you're married now, you know, so no, I'm okay. You know, I mean, what are you really trusting in? You know, what are the things that are really, it's kind of like your buoys in your life? It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he continues this whole thing on, and he's telling these guys, look, you know, in the world, it may seem like you're losing out. You know, because he's telling this guy basically to sell what he has to give to the poor, and the disciples are like, what in the world? You know, like, God, are you crazy? You know, or Jesus, are you crazy? You know, then who can be saved? You know, I mean, like, you know, what's the deal? You know, and he says, with, you know, and then the famous passage, right? You know, things impossible with God are, you know, things impossible with men are possible with God. You know, and he says, but God, we left everything. You know, and it seemed like, you know, and you can understand the mind of the disciples, because it seems like, wow, God, you just want everything. You know, I mean, you know, it's like, it could seem unfair, right? And he says, listen, you know, you don't understand. You give up this, you give up that, whatever it may be in a worldly sense, but you receive 100 times more in this life, and then icing on the cake, life to come. You know, and we can walk in this mindset. You know, we can have like, oh God, oh, you're stripping me of this, you're stripping me of that. What, you don't want me to have this, you don't want me to have that. You know, and we can just continually talk in those kind of negatives, and God says, man, that's nothing, because I want to give you something that's real. I want to give you something precious. I want to give you something that moth and rust do not destroy. I want to give you treasures in heaven. And I want to give you something that lasts forever, eternity. Not just for eternity or in eternity, but right now in this life. You know, and I can tell you in my own life, you know, I've been a Christian, you know, since 1992, right? That's 12 years, almost, you know, getting on 13 years soon. You know, and I have received so much more than I've ever given to God. You know, it almost seems like, man, You know, sometimes if I really get honest and in my prayer time, I'd be like, God, you really got ripped off. You know, I mean, really, you really got gypped. You know, like, you got me, you know, and I got everything that you've given to me. You know what I mean? It's like, he got a raw deal. But yet, we walk in our lives and we live our life as if we feel like we got a raw deal. You know, God, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that, I don't have this, and my family's like this, and blah, blah, blah. You know, but when you really trust God, I mean, when you really give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives of himself, right? What does it say? Running, like, it's like the oil spilling over the beard, right? In the Old Testament, New Testament talks about it spills over, pressed down, shaken together, spilling over your lap. And that's how God wants to give to each one of us, right? That's his heart's desire for all of us. 100 times in this life, and then the life to come. You know, sometimes as Christians, we think too much into eternity, too much into future in those types of things, that we forget all the blessing that God gives us in this life. You know, and I'll be honest, man, I want everything that God has for me. And I don't know, you know, there's times to be greedy, right? I think we talked about this in Experiencing God one time, right? I mean, there are times to be greedy. You know, when it comes to spiritual things, you best be greedy. You know what I mean? I mean, you best go after it. You know, I know in other things, you know, in the world sense, you know, it's not good to be greedy. But when it comes to things of God, I mean, don't you want everything that God wants for you? I mean, right? I mean, don't you want every blessing, you know, and every fruitful thing that God wants to pour out to you? You know, don't you? Right? Of course you do, right? And see, the amazing thing is, even though you want it that much, Father God wants it more, even more for you, to pour out his hand of blessing, his prosperity. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts, right, are his. Those that will trust God, he wants to strongly support, right? That's what we call the Father heart of God. You know, the Father heart of God is not just when you're feeling weak and when you feel like an orphan, God's love comes and embraces you. The Father's love, right? The Father heart of God is to continue to pour out and make you a success. You know, how many of your fathers, right, don't want you to excel even better and have even more, you know, and do even more than even they did? You know what I mean? I mean, every father is like that. You know, unless you got a jacked up dad, right? But, you know, on the most cases, it's like that. I mean, I can't, when we have kids, I mean, even these days, my heart's desire is I want my child to have even more, right? To be more blessed, to be smarter, to be, you know, I mean, just the list goes on and on and on, more successful than myself or my wife, you can even imagine for ourselves. That's a father's heart. You know what I mean? And that's his heart for every single one of you guys. And so, and then he comes and he bookends, and see, this is a continuation of the same story. He starts right there, you know, talking about the widow, and then he bookends talking about the blind man. And notice, the widow and the blind man, two people that are in need, right? They both have very extreme needs. One's blind, obviously, right? And the other person, right, is having all kinds of problems because she's a widow, right? Both in need, right? And Jesus addresses this, and I love the way that Luke actually kind of bookends this whole thing, and he draws the whole thought through. Because remember, right, he's talking about those who trust in God, right? And he starts off this whole thing, and he's basically saying, you know, this person just cries out to this judge, and this judge is unrighteous. But this judge answers the prayer. You know, and he says here, look at verse 7, right? And now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. And listen to what he says. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He says, look, even, right, it's that phrase again. You know, even, I mean, how much more God, right? If this unrighteous judge is able to do this thing and to bring, recourse and to bring resolution to this widow, how much more will God, whose people, who his elect, right, his sons and daughters cry out to him, and he says he will act speedily. Right? And so he's drawing that, he's giving you a snapshot, right? And he says, the question, it says, will he find faith on the earth? And then look what he does. He ends the chapter, and here's a blind man that come to him. And what is he doing? He's crying out, right? He's saying, right, because he's doing exactly what Jesus said. He's crying out, and he's saying, Son of David, have mercy on me. Everyone tells him, shut up, don't do that, don't bother him. And he cries out even more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what does Jesus do? He
he heals him
quickly. Exactly what he said, right, in the parable before. He doesn't wait any longer, right? Because now this is God at work. You know, it's not an unrighteous judge. Now this is God himself at work. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Because he's crying out to God on the spot, right? And what does he say? I want to regain my sight. And he says, receive your sight. Why? Your faith has made you well. He asked the question before, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? The answer is yes. Displayed right here, right? And if you operate in that faith, if you cry out to God, he will answer speedily. You know what I mean? He's not going to delay. It's like you know, he like kind of gives this story. I mean, see, that's why I really enjoy the way Luke writes. So he shares this parable, this story, right? He gives you the main points. And then right away, he tells you exactly what happened. You know, that proof, right? And it's like a proof theorem of this parable. Man, God wasn't kidding. He was really real. I mean, he is really honest. And this kind of stuff is really going to happen. If you really, right, if you cry to the Lord, if you move in faith, and God will speedily answer you. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Both people in need, and they both get relief. This will be one of our last prayer times. Monday, our morning service is going to be a worship communion. It's just going to be a celebration and just asking the Lord's presence to come and meet with us. So I probably won't teach on that day. I may change my mind. You never know, right? But let's really cry out to the Lord today. I know there are specific things that many of you, during this whole time, and you know, I just want to tell you, I've been really blessed during this whole season. You know, some of you I've seen every morning. You know, I just, you know, and not just for the ones that every morning, people that came out, man, I'm just really blessed to see you come out. You know, and there's things that you've been crying out to God for. Well, things you've been whispering to the Lord for. And now it's time for you to cry out. All right, the shout breaks the heavy yoke. And I want to challenge you today to get out of your comfort zones a little bit. See, desperate people do desperate things. You know, and it's not the volume of your voice, but it's the intensity of your heart. And I want to challenge you today. We're going to pray for breakthrough. And very specifically, I just want you to pick out one or two things that you feel like, you know, like during this whole fast that the Lord was really leading you to pray for. And God was really stirring breakthrough in your life. And you could have been praying for your brother, you know, or your mom or dad or something. But, you know, something that pertains to your life. And I really want to challenge you this morning to really cry out to God. Right, to really ask him to bring relief and bring remedy. He says, how much more will God, right, answer? He will not delay for his elect that cry to him day and night. Notice the blind man, he didn't cry to him day and night. He just saw him and he just cried out. And God speedily, Jesus speedily answered his prayer. And I really sense that this was a real prophetic verse for us. And I sense that during these you know, 20 days or whatnot so far, that you are at a place with the Lord and God stands before you and says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? And I just want you to respond in prayer. So with the intensity of our hearts, let's just go after those few things. Don't do too many things because you get too sidetracked. just those few things that you've been really going after. Every day we've been praying for breakthrough. I did that very specifically. That was our first request every single day. Pray for spiritual breakthrough in your own life. What have you been really asking the Lord for? Now it's time to break through. Let's go to God.